before we go any further, let's pray. Lord, as we still our hearts before you now, we come seeking you. We come asking you to meet us where we're at, that you would have your way, that your mercy would be tangible, that your goodness to us would not just be something we talk about, but something we experience as well, something we believe to the core of who we are because of what you have accomplished through your Son, Jesus, because of the gift of your Spirit living in us. So we humble ourselves. We ask again that you would take over, that you would be glorified, that you would again meet us where we need you most. We give you praise and thanks. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, again, being a letter written to this church in Ephesus. It is just a power center in the Roman Empire for its port, for its strategic placement, as well as for its proclamation of who Rome is, who the Caesar is, and who's in charge. And this is a letter written to this church that's saying, maybe there's someone else that's in charge. And so he's trying to paint a picture of humanity's struggle and where we find ourselves. And it at first doesn't look really good. So let's jump in there. I'm starting with bad news, but we're getting to good news. Just track with me. And as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Again, this is a place of power, a major theme, again, of Ephesians. Ephesians is talking to this group of people who all they know is the power that they live around, the monuments, the sacred shrines, the statues that represent all the gods, little g, all the, again, who Caesar is, being a child of a god that's been appointed by Zeus, the ones who are in charge of the powers to be said, this is the one we want to rule. And so he's talking again to this church to say, there's another who's above them. And the gods aren't confused, the gods aren't mad, the gods aren't angry in the fact of just trying to mess with humanity. There's a God who cares, who actually created, who knew where we were at and said, I'm going to do something about it. Always the plan from the beginning. And so we have, again, this theme of power. Just in case, get you caught up if you missed last week, this is the Library of Celsus in Ephesus. That's impressive to look at. They believe that over 12,000 various scrolls were kept there and used for, again, the passing on of knowledge and wisdom. But it was again, just a great example still to us today, some 2,000 years later, of what was at this place, of how important this place was. Again, this amphitheater, was a place where they estimated close to 20,000 people could sit and enjoy the festivities of what Rome was proclaiming. This is the entranceway to the streets. Just, again, a profound place, some 2,000 years. Their buildings are still there. Their roads are still there. And, yes, it's pretty impressive. But dealing with the power and saying, listen, who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the Caesar who is in charge? Or are you trusting in this other one who didn't claim you through destruction, through taking over your kingdom, the people you were a part of, and then make you either slaves or send you out as co-workers. No, we have this God who says you were dead. There's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you could do to ever get to him. There's nothing you can do to ever make him love you any less. And he says you were dead. You were done because of this thing called sin. Sin is basic definition, the absence of good. But the reality is it's when we rebel against who God is, what his best is for our life. A lot of times we think that we know better than him. But we find that early on in the letter that we have been put outside of the family and we need to be rescued, reclaimed, brought back into the family. And we find that Jesus has done this because, again, we were dead. Outside the family because of the death and sin go together. Again, being dead, it's crazy when we think about death. None of us want to die, and yet it's part of the journey. I didn't come up with it. You have two problems in this life you never asked for. One, you were born, and two, you're going to die. Things that you never asked for, and yet you have to deal with, whether you want to, whether you deal with them head on, or whether you ignore them. But every one of us has those, has this situation that we find ourselves in. And yet when you find out who is this God and how he is living and wants to live in us and through us in this world to reclaim and renew what he's doing in this world, life has a different purpose and meaning. Maybe it's not about becoming the next Caesar, the next one in power. Maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's actually to be his representatives. Maybe I jump ahead. Moving on. This death was a real, could be a real death, could be a relationship alienation. There are relationships you have in your life that are unfortunately not close. Maybe you haven't talked to the other person in years because of an action, a comment, some word was given and it caused you guys to have no connection. There's this one part in the text. If you read it fuller, you'll see this in your scriptures in the Bible. But he gives reference to this ruler, this power of the air, and what I don't believe he's talking about like the Satan. He doesn't use the word Satan here in any way. He's talking again, I think, about Zeus. He's talking about the one who made Caesar, who at this time was Nero, who made him to be the ruler. And so he's being very political. I know sometimes in the world today, we don't want to talk about religion and politics. Paul's really good about talking about both. And he's like, it's really important that you understand that he's speaking against power. He's speaking against the way of Rome. And there's a different way, the way of Jesus. Jesus didn't get put on a cross because he loved people. He got put on a cross because he claimed that there was a different Caesar and he was the one. That there was a different king. And he was the long-awaited promised one. It's so interesting when you really look at how political he is in this letter, because he is, again, talking against power, talking against, not just all power is bad. Good to see you, bud. Sorry, I want to give you a wave. Not that all power is bad, but how they use the power. And we have this group of people, this government, who is just dominating and controlling. But apparently we all need rescue. It's not just about being political. It's about saying, listen, there is a corporate, there's a big vision, but there's also a personal one too, that we all need rescue, that in this rescue, when we don't find rescue, we ask, okay, where does my help come from? Is it just about me getting through the day? Is it about me just trying harder, maybe faking it, maybe pretending more? I don't believe so, but we all, again, need rescue. There's this phrase that's children of wrath or the wrath that's being described, that there's this thing about that. And it could mean a few different things. One, it could be children are angry at one another. Could be that there is in other words, there's a disagreement between them. It could be that God's angry, that's what wrath means, angry at creation, but is restoring it. It could be that they're just angry children. It could be just, there's so many different things, but that God's anger is due to their sinful behavior. Because he knows what's best for them. He knows what's good for them. I told my daughter yesterday, we're doing church work day, my youngest, Leah, I said, hey, honey, I need the keys to the van to load up some stuff to take to Goodwill. And so she's like, I said, they're on my desk. Well, someone had questions, so I went somewhere else to go get something. And of course, with my ADD, I got distracted, and then I'm working on different things. Before I know it, she comes back. She's sitting at the table. She's having a donut. I'm going, hey, you know, thanks for working so hard. You worked really well. It was a great day. And so as we're talking, we're now walking back to my office, and Miss Aggie walks in, direct school director, and she's like, so why is your van on? I said, what? She said, the van's on. I don't know how long, but it was at least 20 plus minutes. And I'm like, and she went from, oh, and I'm going, what did you do? Well, I thought you said go turn the van. I said, nope, those words never came out of my mouth. Like, that did not happen. Let me be crystal clear. That will never happen. If you think I say that, what's your response? Nope, not correct. Nope. What's your response? Dad, did you say? Good. So we know now, we don't turn it. Anyway, I'm like, huh. I wasn't happy with her because I knew what I asked her to do. I knew what I was hoping that she would be able to do, and it just open it so we can load it up. She took it as, I'll load it up and I'll start the car, right? So I'm going, no, right? That didn't change my love for her. And sometimes we think that when bad things happen, God's mad at us. That's not really how it works. Don't get me wrong. I think sometimes God lets difficulties happen to us to sometimes get our attention, to bring us maybe back to realize, wait, Lord, what do you want? Where do you want me and my life to be? How do I move forward? Now, if you've prayed and you've searched and you don't feel God's leading you to confess anything and deal with that, then there could just be a difficult season that he's learning, he wants you to learn to trust in him. That when it's hard, to know that he's big enough. My prayer this week for me and for others, but for me especially this week, was, Lord, help me to trust you, help me to depend on you. Help me to lean on your strength, not my strength. Been a crazy busy week. People in the hospital, VBS next week. We got stuff going on, people going out of town, out of the state, trying to make sure we're all coordinated. Just a ton of stuff we're juggling. And I'm going, Lord, don't let me be rushed. We all can be busy, that's fine. But when I'm hurried, then that's usually something I'm doing on my own. And that's a check. And I need to, Lord, help me trust in you. And this is a declaration. We all need rescue. That's what saved means. Paul is talking about how we are rescued in the Lord, that all of humanity is rescued because of what Jesus has done, because of his great sacrifice. Now, after this sacrifice, he then goes and talks about something, but in the past tense, that's something that's going to happen in the future. Interesting way of putting it. Think about when you were a child. You didn't think much about death. You didn't think about, have I lived a good life? You didn't consider your ways. You thought about, is this fun? Is that fun? Do I like that? Do I like that? Boy, that's good chocolate. Whatever, you were really focused on really some just basic things. But as you grow and as you live, you start to have that reflection and question. Have I lived in a way that makes a difference, that matters? And then in what way? How is that going to continue on? Paul is telling them, don't forget who we are. That we are made alive with Christ. We are raised with Christ. We are seated with Christ. Future looking, and yet it's already happened, the past tense. Because he wants you to know who you are so we know how to live. This rescue plan that God did wasn't to just get us somewhere else. This rescue plan was so that we could become new people, a new humanity, the what God always intended. Sometimes we forget that there's a purpose, and our purpose isn't in how much we have or how little we have. We have little purpose, we have much purpose. Or how our worth isn't in any of those as well. Our purpose and worth are found in Jesus, not in our degrees, not in, again, in our 401k. No, our purpose is found in who is the author of all of life. And he says, come follow me. And he invites us to this thing, not in our text today, but Jesus says, take up your cross. This is why it's so much bigger than just be nice to people. Be kind to one another. Take up your cross. That the cross, no one took up a cross unless they were going to die. It's a sacrificial love. It's not about us. We've tried living that way. And he says you needed rescue because of that. It's about us seeking what God wants. It's about us surrendering and saying, Lord, not my will, your will, but that we do have a purpose, and it's to reflect who God is to others, his light and his love, not by our own strength, but by relying, depending, submitting, surrendering to him. It's a moment by moment, day by day. There are days you're going to feel like doing it. There are going to be days you don't. In those days, you pray, especially harder. Lord, help me. Help me to run the race you've called me to run. Help me to not lose focus. Help me to be on target. So I get this call Friday about Miss Christie's mom. Said yesterday she came in for an infection on Wednesday, due in tests, should be fine, but just you know, going through it. That's what I find out Wednesday. Thursday, I hear that she's become non-responsive, not sure what to do. Friday, I get a call from, I get informed by a call that she made to one of our other teachers, and the teacher was smart to say, let me give Pastor a call and let him, because she has my number, and I tell her, call me if you need me, and some of you guys do that too, and you guys, I'm like, call me, let me know. Not like if you go in the hospital and get out, like your mark or anything, and don't tell anybody, but moving on, I digress. But Friday, I get this call, and we're in middle. I mean, I got cuts for VBS. I mean, I am like, I got my projects going for game time. I'm like trying to figure things out, and I get this call. I'm like, I gotta go. One daughter's got a volleyball practice in like an hour, and I'm going like, huh? How is that gonna work? I'm like, okay, it's juggling. We got people help picking her up, dropping her off. Long story short, I get to St. Lucie Medical. I park. I'm walking up. And as I'm walking up, the darnest thing I come across, there's a girl, 20, 21 years old, walking down the road from the hospital. Like I'm at the hospital, so it's like the road into where you, like the entrance. She's got two pieces of luggage, blanket, pillow, drink. Things are dropping as she's walking. Just falling over. And I'm like, different? Usually people don't bring their luggage to the hospital, right? So I'm just kind of like not sure what's going on here. So as I'm looking, and I just kind of go, again, she doesn't know me from Adam. And I'm like, ma'am, do you need any help? And she doesn't look like she's all there, like she's heavily medicated of some sort. And she's like, I'm fine. Oh, okay, you can't help someone if they don't want help. So I begin to walk, boom, everything just goes in her bag. I mean, just like, and I'm like, okay, you're fine. Here's your water bottle. And so I kind of get there. I'm like, where are you heading? She's like, how about we go to that bench over there, out of the road? There's cars now waiting to drive. And so we get her over there, have her sitting down. And I said, I'm a pastor here to visit one of our partners at the church. I said, I don't know how long it's going to be, but if you're still here, would you mind if I came by and just checked in on you? Fine, sir, fine. Okay. Walked in, got a chance to visit with the family, got a chance to pray over Barbara. She'll hurt me when she finds out. Miss Chrissy's mom. and so here I am. Over an hour goes by. I don't usually spend that long in a visitation, but they seem to need it, and we were having a good time. We were laughing and stuff like that, trying to encourage them. Walking out, I look over. I don't see anyone at the bench, and I'm like, it's been a while. She probably got picked up. I walk. I am almost about 20 feet from my car. And I'm like, you know what? Just look again. I don't know why, I just did. I look over, and there's the girl. And she's standing there. Now bags are open, like I guess on purpose. Clothes are just every which way. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want to do here? I walk over to her, and I said, I'm not sure if you remember me, Dustin. And I think you're Riley, right? And she goes, yeah, I'm Riley. I said, surprised you're here. I'm kind of glad to see you, just surprised. I said, is there anything I can do for you? Can we pray? Do you need someone to call? Do you need a phone? She's like, no, I have my phone. And I said, oh, that's right, you have your phone, okay. I said, is there anything I can help you with? At this point, security guard's there. And the security's like, you can't stay here. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't know how this is going to go. And so we're talking after a few minutes. Come to find out, she wasn't even a patient of the hospital. She was at a rehab center, got kicked out, and they just dropped her on the front door entrance. She's from Minnesota. I know some people can appreciate that place, being so cold and far away. And I'm like, so... And she starts now using descriptive adjectives and words of her situation. And I said, I am really sorry to hear that you're in this situation. I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And she then started using some descriptives about who God is and how he's really let her down. And I said, you know, I'm really sorry that you're in pain. I said, but this doesn't have to end that way. And so we're standing there talking. Again, the security guard's like, you're not even a former patient. You really have to leave now. Like you can't stay here, right? And I'm like going like, oh, just give me a second, right? And then he just, it was just like a God moment. He goes, you know, ma'am, if you're not a patient here, you haven't been a patient here, and you have nowhere else to go. I mean, I'm looking at bus stations. I mean, the Treasure Coast has no shelter in it. It's horrible. But we have not, if you're out, you're out. And so I'm like, there's some shelters in Palm Beach. I said, I will pay for a bus ticket if you need it. I'm looking for the bus company that used to be up in Fort Pierce. It's gone. And I'm going, interesting. Okay. And I'm like, I'm doing my best on that. I hear him talking with the girl with Riley. And this gentleman named Dwayne goes, ma'am, how about this? How about you come into the ER? You can charge your phone, because she's talking about her phone doesn't work now. She needs her. She goes, charge your phone. At least see. Maybe we can help you out. And at this point now, there's a nurse who's out there. So there's three of us. And I said, Riley, I said, I know you're hurt. I know you're frustrated. I know you're angry. And I know you have no idea what to do. But there's three people here that could be somewhere else. But they're here because they care about you. We're here because we want you to know that this doesn't have to be the way you're living anymore. Took a deep breath. Her cigarette now has kind of just got down to her knuckles. And I'm almost like going, can I get that for you? Because it's going to burn, right? As I'm looking at the cigarette, I notice on her hand, her arm, probably 20 cigarette burn marks all over. I don't say this to gross you out. I'm just trying to let you understand something, that this girl has seen horrible, horrible experiences. Some of her own choices, some of it done to her. But I was like, this doesn't have to be this way. She didn't want to hear anymore. I wasn't going to push it. But I told Wayne, I said, Wayne, here's my card. If she needs something that you think we can help out, let me know. I took her to the ER, and I've been praying for her. Not many of us will get to that point. But the reality is, God loves her just as much as he loves you and he loves me. And he sent Jesus to rescue her and rescue me and you. He wants all of us to live in a new way, finding our purpose in him, not in the latest high, not in beating ourselves up. But the challenge is deep, it's wide, it's great. The good news is God's grace meets us there. So the question I have, a couple questions I have for you is this. Do you need to experience God's grace today? Maybe you really have never experienced it. Maybe you've never said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want a new way of living. It's a simple prayer, but it's amazing the gifts that God gives. Maybe you prayed that prayer a while ago and you're just going, yeah, I still don't feel that grace. I need that grace. I pray that you'd be open to receive it. I pray Riley is open one day to receive it. God's made the way. All we have to do is say yes. And then if you have been living in the way of Jesus, great, beautiful, but how should we live now? How do we continue to live this out, to be again the people God wants us to be? In a few moments, we're going to take up an offering. We're going to hear an offertory. We're going to sing a song. We're going to close our service. You're going to get a chance to connect with a few people, and we're going to walk out. We're the gathered church now. We'll be the scattered church in a few moments. But don't miss the opportunities God gives you to know him better, to follow him closer, and to help others know of his love. It's so much bigger than what we, God is so much greater and so much better than what we can fathom. He's done all the hard work. He wants to do now the deep work in us, though. I pray you'll let him do it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this is so much bigger than us. This is so much bigger than a Sunday morning. This is, you have sent your Son to rescue the world, to help the world be a new world. You have promised a future and declared it like in the past. It's going to happen. And we can trust that as we trust, as we believe, as we know what grace is, that this grace, this unmerited favor, you've done the work. But we must respond by believing in. That's the part, rescued by grace through faith, that we have to believe in. So give us your Spirit. Give us courage to pray that prayer. Help us, Lord, in being the people you want us to be. We, of course, lift up all those who are on our prayer list and in our bulletins and in our partners in prayer group. We lift up those who have no hope. We lift up those who think they don't think they need you. They probably need you the most. So, Father, please have mercy again on us. We know you are good. We know you are gracious. We know you are rich in giving. Help us to believe it and live like you are. Give us the strength to love. Give us the grace to believe. You've done the work. Now, Lord, let us receive it. Lord, we pray for those, again, throughout our community that don't know you. We pray for your churches throughout the world. We ask that we would be light in the darkness, your hands, your feet. We especially lift up Palm City Presbyterian and the Grove and Any River. We lift us up as congregations in rhythm with you. Help us to be a movement and not a monument. We are excited for VBS, and we pray you would just truly bless the children and the families that are going to be part of it. Help give the strength and the love that the volunteers are going to need. May this be a place where they know of your love. We thank you for the opportunity to share that love with others. We pray for our country and the leaders and all throughout our world, Lord. We pray for your hand to be upon them, that you would give them wisdom and favor and humility. Help them to work and partner with you. And Lord, we remember this amazing prayer that you taught your disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."